Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Beautiful day we have this morning. Pete is not here. You will not find him. He is on vacation, taking a vacation week this week. So you can keep him in your prayers for some rejuvenation. And I'm joined by Mike, and we have a guest preacher, Ed Walsh. He has been with us before. So where's Ed? Ed and Brenda. This is Ed and Brenda. Make sure you say hi to them. And we're so glad that they joined us this morning. Ed serves as a few different leadership roles at our denominational level. So we have yearly meeting coming up this weekend, so you can keep that in your prayers. It is a very different yearly meeting, and Ed has been instrumental in putting that all together. It is all online this year, and so many people were submitting videos for that, and I'm sure some of it will be live. But if you're interested in the goings-on of our denomination, you can check out... I'm sure that'll be on Facebook, EFCER's Facebook page, and our church may share that. If you want a link to that, you can also email the church office. We'll get you a link if you want to watch any of that. That's all on Saturday this year.
Cool.
We do have a couple announcements.
Yep. So first up, we have VBS coming up, VBS in a buggy box, which will include daily video lessons and Zoom craft time, which sounds really great. So if you want to be a part of that, or your children or your grandchildren, please just register online by Thursday, July 16th, and then we will have a pickup day on July 23rd to pick up those boxes from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And then the one thing that is not on that slide that I should have had on there is that the actual VBS will start the following week. It'll be Monday, what would that be, the 26th through Friday, 5 days, through Friday, July 31st. And then going on, along with that VBS is that we are looking, you can go to the next slide, we're looking for some donations of paper towel rolls and toilet paper rolls for their craft time. And I'm not it for being the one to disinfect all the toilet paper rolls.
Well, Pete's not here. So
oh yeah, Pete has
to
do
it.
To do it. All right. We'll let him do that. Yeah. That'll be his penance.
Yes.
To pay for missing.
Yes.
But don't worry, those will all be clean and everything disinfected. But we would appreciate if you have any of those that you can offer that we can use. That'd be great. There is a bin at the Welcome Center for that.
Cool.
Got anything else? Any jokes?
Nope.
Okay.
Fresh
then
out.
We'll yep. All right. We're going to go ahead and worship together. I want to invite you to stand, and we'll lift our voices. So today there is a theme of prayer. We're in this series of big questions about faith, and today's big question is why prayer? And so we're going to sing a few different prayers throughout the morning. We're going to sing about prayer, and then a couple songs that are just basically written as prayers to God. So actually, will you pray with me as we gear our hearts to just talk to God this morning? Dear Lord, as we think about prayer and we practice prayer today, I just want to ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to see you and hear you. We want to open up our hearts that you may hear us as well. Just allow us to be open and honest with you as we come to your throne this morning and we meet you in this place. Your Holy Spirit, we know, is here with us right now. And so we just we want to meet you here, but we know that you may be speaking to us as well, and we want to be able to hear your voice. Despite everything that may be going on in our heads, going on in our schedules, in our week, and we're thinking about this and that, we ask that you would help us to focus this morning, to kind of clear those things out and make room for you, because that is why we're here. We thank you that despite maybe the different way we have to worship, that we're still able to worship and be the body of Christ here together. And online and spread out and watching, we pray that you would just bring us all together. In your name we pray. Amen. So, with that in mind, let's start just by praising God from whom all blessings flow with the doxology that was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son.
Starts out as a confession that we need Jesus in our lives. Lord, I come.
Lord, I come. I confess.
I love that line in there. This is holiness is Christ in me. We cannot be holy without Christ, apart from him. The holiness in us is Christ in us as well. And so this next scripture is going to talk a little bit about that. And it's going to tie into this next song that we're going to sing together. So will you read this scripture with me? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we asked or imagined, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that is Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus. And I love that he's saying that we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit and then love like God loves. And that is the prayer here in this chorus. It says, "Holy, there is no one like you." Just like we say here, to him be the glory. He's able to do immeasurably more. So, "Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open my eyes in wonder and show me who you are. Fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me." Now that is a prayer that I hope we can all pray this morning. Let's sing this out. He is worthy.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus, sing his name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. You are. us with your heart, God. Lead us in your love, Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Listen for his voice. Think about his love, how deep and how wide.
Guest speaker Ed comes up to preach. I just want to share a verse that kind of came to me as we were singing Build My Life, and that line, lead me in your love to those around me. Jesus was talking to his disciples just as he was telling them, you know, I'm only going to be with you a little while longer. And he said, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, speaking about love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I think that's just a reminder to us that sometimes we make things out to be more than what they are. And I've been reading this book, and one of the lines in it says, keep the main thing the main thing. And I think one of the main things about being disciples of Jesus is loving one another, and how we are going about showing that love of Jesus to one another. So as we pray this morning and pray before the sermon, let's kind of keep that mindset that love is the main thing about being disciples of Jesus. God, we are grateful to be here this morning, to be amongst your people, to be singing and thinking about prayer, and how you love us so much that you have given us the opportunity to speak directly to you as a friend in times of need, in times of joy, no matter what season we are in. God, we are thankful that we can come directly to you in prayer. God, you love us so much. And that is one of your main things for us, is to give us your love. And so, God, let that be our main thing as we seek you and as we try our best to follow you. God, may love be the main thing that we pursue. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. It is great to be with you. Are we on? All right. Good morning. Everyone has their gifts. Andy knows. Well, it's great to be with you. Great to be with those of you here in the sanctuary. And for those of you online, wonderful to have you with us as well. When your pastor asked me if I would preach, I just loved your sermon series that he's in here. And the verse that it was on, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you and that you have. And when I think about that, I don't know about you, but for me, my best answer is always 24 hours later. The next day, I think, you know what I should have said? I thought about, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons we have this admonition here, to be prepared. And as we think of the pandemic, our hopes have certainly been dashed in many ways. And so he said, be prepared to share what that hope is for you there. And so it certainly has disrupted our lives from sports viewing, unless, of course, you're a fan of cornhole championships, which I am not, or disruption of vacation plans or altering our restaurant eating routine. Certainly, it's been a very serious situation there for many of our folks who over 130,000 families in the U.S. alone that have lost a loved one from this illness. And so COVID-19 has certainly caused us to, for people to reevaluate their priorities, which opens the door for deeper conversations. And that's what we want to talk about today there. So if you came here this morning and you're thinking, you know, sharing about Christ, it doesn't come naturally to me, or I'm a little hesitant about that, or it doesn't come easy, I want you to know, first of all, you're not alone. And number two, that there are practices we can incorporate in our lives to help make a difference, to help us to be prepared. So today's topic is why pray? Why pray? I want to share three reasons and then three prayers that we can pray as well. So let's pray together, even as we're going to talk about prayer. Father, may the meditation of my heart, Lord, the words of my lips, may these be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, may you give us ears to hear and hearts to obey your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, the first reason to pray is to join in God's narrative. To join in God's narrative. Did you realize that the entire Bible can be summarized into four words? Four words. All 66 books, all 31,000 plus verses can be condensed into four themes. God's narrative is this. It's creation, fall, redemption, restoration. So creation, God made this perfect world. It was beautiful, perfect people. There weren't any secrets being there, no disputes, no fighting. It was a perfect setting. For me, I picture the Hawaiian Islands when I think of a perfect world. Perfect fellowship, man with man with God, in harmony. But that all came to a screeching halt. And when sin came into this world, it really messed things up. And so we have selfishness and oppression and wars and injustice. And not just mankind and their relationships, but the entire planet, Paul tells us, just spiraled out of control. And so we have earthquakes and tsunamis and pandemics and kale. And man's best efforts could not solve the problem. So God had to intervene, which leads to redemption. That's the hope. We have that hope that God is bringing things back together, mending the broken, repairing the rupture, changing the lives of those. And so as we have individuals whose lives are changed, we can have communities that are changed as well through the Redeemer, through our Lord Jesus Christ, which brings us back to God's original plan. It's restoration. It's God's fullness that he intended from the beginning. But right now, we're in that messy middle. And so we have creation, fall, redemption, restoration. That's the big picture. And as I was thinking about prayer and why pray, I'm going to reference the Lord's Prayer first of all. But the Lord's Prayer, it reflects God's narrative when he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth." It's a plea for God to restore things back to its original design. He says we need to get back there. So we want to join in there. So we think about that. So, you know, when Jesus was addressing folks on prayer on the Sermon on the Mount, he started it like this. He said, "When you pray." Jesus didn't need to convince people to pray. He lived in a nation of prayers. They placed a high value on praying. Surveys reveal that we are a nation of prayers. 82% of adults say they pray weekly. 89% of teenagers say they pray weekly, and it's even higher during exams. 96% of born-again Christians say they pray weekly. Americans, by and large, are a people who pray. So when we say, why pray, some of that's like, well, duh, we already are praying. But let me ask you, can we pray wrong? Well, Jesus said yes. He said, you know, we're thinking prayer's a good thing. Can we make that into a bad thing? And, well, absolutely, because when Jesus first started, but he prefaced it, don't pray like this and don't pray like that. So that should get our attention. But don't let this amazing privilege keep us from this, from doing it wrong, keep us from this amazing privilege here. God longs to converse with his creation. And that's what prayer is. It's a conversation. It's listening and it's speaking together there. So that should be exciting, especially for those of you who are extroverts. You say, oh, yeah, I love to talk. I love to converse. Those of you who are introverts, it's okay as well. There, God knows our thoughts. He allows us to process those as well. But God longs for this relationship with his creation. He desires this intimate fellowship. It started in the garden, Adam and Eve. God conversed with them, but it continued with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. God initiating conversation with his creation. And then Jesus came to earth. He modeled that same type of conversation with the Father, always in constant communion. God delights to be with his children and to converse with them. That's God's heart. Matter of fact, Zephaniah says he will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. And 10 weeks ago, Brenda and I got our first new grandchildren, two twin grandsons. And boy, it was great. We took great delight in them. And it was, when they got fussy, it was great to try and quiet them with our love and then to rejoice over them you mothers who just sing to your kids all the time. It's a joy. That's God's heart. It's hard to comprehend, but it's true. God desires this intimate relationship with what he calls his bride. You know, I was thinking, after 39 years of marriage, Brenda can read me like a book. She knows what I'm thinking before I ever think it. And after 39 years, I can read her like a Rubik's Cube. I know exactly what she wants as soon as after she tells me what she wants. I am just that good. Well, here's the deal. Some of you have been following Christ for a long time. Some of you are new to the journey. Some of you, you might still be checking this out. That's okay. We don't have to guess how to pray right. We don't have to guess about our relationship with Christ there. So Matthew said, or Jesus said this in Matthew. He said, this then is how you should pray. Very familiar. Matter of fact, we're going to sing this at the end. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. There's a perfect balance there. First half deals with God. Second half deals with us. We have our physical needs, our relational needs, the reality of an enemy. But the important thing is, start with God. Start with his narrative. You know, too many of our prayers, so often our prayer lists start with us or those around us. But God is the main attraction. Now, we lived in Pittsburgh before we moved here to Canton, Ohio. And back there, they filmed the Batman movie, and they said about 8,000 people showed up to be extras in that movie. And Francis Chan said this. He said, imagine you were hired as an extra, and you start announcing that, guess what? They made a movie about me. You gather all your friends to watch the premiere as George Clooney's being chased through a crowd, dodging bullets, avoiding bystanders. And there for one split second, for one brief moment, you squint really hard and you push pause. You see the back of your head. And you say, look at me. That's me. Wasn't I great? So often that's how we are when we think about God. We say, here's this big movie that God's doing. And we just see the glimpse of the back of our head and we think, we're the star of the show. No, we want to start with God. So join in God's narrative. God is seeking to usher in his kingdom. And it consummates when he returns. And when he comes back, eventually his creation will be restored. A new heaven, a new earth will come. And so that's God's heart, to expand his kingdom. And so the Lord's Prayer, in one sense, it aligns us to God's purposes. So I'm going to ask you, if you took inventory of your prayers, what percent are about God and his kingdom? And what percent are about me, my kids, my exams, my career? Are we consumed with the fact that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance? That people that are bound by sin can experience his love, his forgiveness, his liberation. Is his kingdom our top priority as we pray? You know, I was wondering as I thought through, how did God's narrative affect Paul as he prayed? How did it affect it? And as I thought about that, I thought, I'm going to just look at some of those prayers. Look at this one here. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. You know, here's this observation there that God's narrative propelled Paul to pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. And so that's the first prayer. I just challenge you, encourage you to be praying each day. God, would you open doors for the advancement of your kingdom? His consuming desire was, Lord, your kingdom come. It wasn't, I got to get out of jail. It wasn't, help me get out of prison. It was, God, give us open doors. He didn't ask to be released. He just said, God, you need to do this. You know, one author said this. He said, perhaps the fundamental difference between our prayer list and the prayer concerns we find in the Bible is that we pray for personal problems, and most of the prayers in the Bible focus on God's purposes. Another author said, we spend more prayer energy trying to keep sick Christians out of heaven than lost people out of hell. That's amen or oh me. Are you with me? Now, I'm not saying don't pray for your problems. Definitely, he said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. But let the advancement of God's kingdom be center stage as we pray together. And just remember, I know you know this, but prayer makes a difference. Sometimes we don't always see it, but prayer makes a difference. And as I thought about Paul's prayer, and as he asked the Colossians, would you pray for this? He did that while he was in prison. Well, here's what it says at the end of Acts. It says, Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. That meant he was under house arrest and was welcoming all who came in, preaching the kingdom of God unhindered. Unhindered. That's the last verse in the book of Acts. And I think, what a great word. What a great word, unhindered. Here's Paul in prison preaching the word unhindered. Paul was sheltered in place, but the gospel wasn't. That's good news. You know, it's been awesome getting reports from our different pastors as we've been working through this whole pandemic thing. Churches have been prohibited from meeting as you were, and yet the gospel has been going forth unhindered. And so one pastor, he reported that his dad tuned in online to listen to the service, and then he said, you know what, I think that's the first time my dad heard me preach. Another pastor said his brother has been boycotting church for decades. And then he said, during this pandemic, he said, my brother's been listening to my sermons online. That's God working. There's one church that we have. They have about 40 people who show up, but they have 500 people listening online every week. An expanded reach, open doors, unhindered. So pray for open doors that we can join in God's narrative. Here's a second reason to pray. To engage the cosmic realities. You know, one pastor, this was another report that we received. He said they have a 20-year-old member who she posted on Facebook to all her friends. She said, I believe in Jesus Christ, and here's the reason why. She shared her testimony without shame, boldly. And so that pastor gathered. He had a staff meeting the next day, and he said, hey, man, she's putting us to shame. We've got to be more bold as a staff, as leaders, to declare fearlessly the gospel. Here's another one of his prayer requests there. What? Pray for an open mouth. Let's see here. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then this is what Paul said. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul said, you need to pray for me to be bold. That's good. Because you know what? So often I shared here earlier that at too often we are hesitant. We're not sure. And so a second prayer is pray for an open mouth. Pray for an open mouth. Because we tend to be fearful. We don't want to offend people. We lack confidence. I was thinking, why is that happening? Well, because we're at war. Paul already said that. Satan is fighting against us. And so we have this all-out onslaught against believers saying, no, don't say anything right now. Spiritual forces, authorities, powers fighting against the advancement of the gospel. They don't want to see that happen. You know this verse, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You know, Satan will give us 101 reasons why now is not a good time to say something. Why now is not a good time to bring up Christ in the conversation. Maybe tomorrow, maybe a different time. You know, Craig Van Gelder in The Essence of the Church said this. He said, the kingdom of God is not just about ideas and words. It's also about power and confrontation. The children of the kingdom should expect to be involved in a power encounter with the evil one. That doesn't bode well for a Quaker pacifist, does it? We want to be at peace. But he said, we need to expect war at times. He goes on and says, a conflict between kingdoms that requires reliance on God's power for victory. I'm going to repeat that. He said, it's a conflict between kingdoms that requires reliance on God's power for victory. Therefore, we use spiritual weapons. We put on the armor of God. So pray for boldness. Just pray that God would help us open our mouth. And I, honestly, each time I open my mouth, I feel like I stumble more than I say it clearly. But keep trying. In 1914, there was an ad run in a newspaper, and it said this. It said, men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. Who in the world would respond to that? Apparently there was a whole boatload of people who wanted to explore the Antarctica and they wanted to reap the rewards. How much more for the King of Kings to say, God, sign me up. And through the centuries, men and women have been doing that. Children and teens have enlisted in God's army to engage in the battle, sometimes across the ocean, but a lot of times it's just across our backyard or into the workplace or around the neighborhood, battling for eternal destinies, engaging with spiritual forces, fighting with spiritual weapons. Voicu and Anna Marian are two of our Eastern Region missionaries in Romania. As they witness the teenagers, the local priest, as those teenagers leave, the priest will come up to them and say, don't believe what those missionaries are saying. They're heretics. It's a spiritual battle. In India, Nepal, there's anti-conversion laws. It's what some of our Christian workers have to compete against. Some of our missionaries cannot be identified on the website because Christian activity is being monitored in the country where they serve. So they have to communicate in code. That's the world we live in. It's not a James Bond movie. It's what's happening right now. It's true around the world. It's true where you live. We have to pray for an open mouth. Now, when someone shares about a difficulty that they're going through, I think a lot of us will say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you. Let me encourage you. Don't say, I'll pray for you. Offer to pray with them. Right there, right then. Allow the presence of God to come into that experience and that presence. The best thing we can offer people, it's not our advice, it's not our sympathy, it's God's blessing. A few years back, we were on vacation. We were visiting Brenda's folks. They live on the west. At the time, they lived on the western side of Ohio, right in farmland, USA. And the week before, the TV antenna had blown down in a storm, so my father-in-law needed to replace it. Well, we found an ad in the classified ads. So I said, Dad, hey, let's go there and let's see if we can do that. He called. It was still available. So we drove over to this other farm. Guy had to go up into the barn and in the loft and pull down his antenna. And so he had to take apart this 30-foot antenna into 10-foot sections. And the whole time he's doing it, he's just talking nonstop. Da, 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 da. And as he's talking, all of a sudden he shared about how his wife had started chemo treatments. And as I'm standing there listening and we're watching him, I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, offer to pray with him. And while the Holy Spirit was telling me that, I was trying to tell God that was not a good idea. I'm sitting there saying, God, I don't even know this guy. I'm never going to see him again. And God, do you realize I'm on vacation? God apparently was not impressed that I was on vacation. And so we loaded the tower and we paid the guy, shook hands, and then I said, can I pray with you? He immediately took his hat off and bowed his head and was ready to pray. He wanted me to offer and bring in God's presence. Grace was extended. I don't know what's happened to that man or his wife, but pray for an open mouth. And finally, as we pray, let's pray to release God's grace. To release God's grace. So pray for open hearts. Pray for open hearts. So we got a narrative here from the book of Acts I want to share there. Paul is, he finally arrives in Macedonia. And so it says, from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down, began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. You know, right before this narrative, we've got Paul. He's over in Asia, and he keeps trying to, he said, we tried to go here, and the Holy Spirit said no. We tried to go here, and the Holy Spirit blocked that. And finally, we see this vision of this man saying, come over to Macedonia. And so we got on a boat, and we crossed the sea over. And so he gets there, and the first person he meets is Lydia, who is from Asia. But she's not in Asia. She's over in modern-day Greece. And that's where Paul is. So Paul has traveled some 1,000 miles, and Lydia, I don't know how far she has driven, you know, has traveled to get there. But God supernaturally allowed them to have a divine encounter. And I know you can just testify how many times God just made things work for you. And you said that never should have happened, but it happened. God sovereignly preparing Lydia to hear the gospel. So he brought them together. It was no accident. It was God's sovereign hand saying, I've prepared a heart and I need you to open your mouth and share the gospel. You know, as I think about that, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, I keep wondering, you know, which one is it? Is God sovereign or is man responsible? And the answer is, yes, it is. Which may cause you to wonder, so where does God's sovereignty end and man's responsibility begin? And that question is above my pay grade, but I hope your pastor will cover it next week for you. The bottom line is we're in this cosmic war and enemies are fighting there. The enemy is fighting against us. God must intervene. So we depend on his sovereignty, even as we're responsible. God must intervene. So we pray for open hearts. Paul said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan has blinded folks. We have to pray for open hearts and open minds. And God intervenes as we intercede. That's why we pray. Pray for open hearts. I want you to think, who's the most resistant people you know that seem like the most resistant to the gospel? And when I think about it and I see some of these just wild Muslims and that type. I look at Muslims and I think, boy, they've grown up and they've never heard about Christ. They have no frame of reference. How in the world are they ever going to respond to the gospel? And so for me, I have trouble believing that God can do a supernatural work for Muslims. I also got some people in my own life that go, man, it just doesn't seem like God's ever going to, you know, get through their thick skull. But one mission magazine reports that out of 600 Muslim converts, 25% experienced a dream that led them to Christ. I'm going to share just one story here as we close up this. There was a Persian migrant who arrived at a refugee center about 6 a.m. He went looking. He was visibly upset. He looked for the pastor that he knew was in this refugee camp, and he found him, and he said, "Last night I had this dream of someone who was dressed in white who said, 'Stand up and follow me.'" Persian man said, who are you?" This is still in his dream. The man in white replied, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the way to heaven. No one can go to the Father except through me." So he asked this pastor, "Who is this?" And that pastor says, he holds his Bible, says, "Have you ever seen this?" "No, sir." "Do you know what it is?" "No, sir." And then he opened up from the book of Revelation where Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And that Persian man came to Christ through a vision. That was not 25% of folks reporting conversions right now, Muslims, are saying they have these supernatural visions. You know, that's just happening around the world for those who don't have the gospel. So, you know, if God can open the heart of a Muslim man who has no exposure to the gospel, he can open the hearts of your neighbor or your family member or your loved one who's been resistant. Just this week, my wife and I, she connected with an old friend of hers, and the husband, I've not had any connection really, hardly at all, who just told me randomly in this conversation, he said, "You know, 2 weeks ago, I just decided to start reading the Bible." I said, "Really?" And so we had some conversation about that. God had just stirred his heart. God is opening hearts. Sometimes it's through dreams. Sometimes through acts of compassion. Sometimes as we pray with people. Sometimes it's through the testimony that you give of God's faithfulness in your life. Sometimes it's through the preaching of the word, either in person or online. But pray for the Holy Spirit to convict and convince, and to draw men and women, boys and girls, to himself, opening their hearts to respond to the gospel. And that's my personal testimony. I was 8 years old, went looking for my friends, and none of my friends were available. And one mom said, "Well, they're down the street at a vacation Bible school." And I went down, I heard the gospel, and God opened my heart to respond right then. Supernatural, God's sovereignty. And all around this room, I know testimonies would be similar, saying God drew me. And you know of others that God has drawn you to yourself. So pray for God's grace to be released. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace that is greater than all our sin. This is what they say in Acts here. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So pray. Pray for open doors. Pray for an open mouth. And pray for open hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you, and I pray, even as we need to be prepared. You call us to be prepared, to share the hope that is within us. And we recognize that this journey is we're not alone, but we're walking hand in hand with you, preparing people's hearts in advance. And so thank you that we can be part of that. And so, Lord, we do pray for open doors. And we do pray that we would preach the word fearlessly. Pray for an open mouth. Sometimes we stumble. But help us to say something anyway. And Lord, we pray for open hearts that you would continue to work within us. So we give you thanks and praise because we want to join in your narrative of your kingdom come, your will be done. on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to invite you to sing those words with me. This is a classic arrangement of the Lord's Prayer written in 1935, but it's not one that we've done a lot as a congregation. So if you're familiar with it, I want to invite you to sing it out as loud as you can. If you're not familiar, that's okay. I invite you to pray these words in your heart and in your mind and just take in the music if you're not familiar with it. So I invite you to stand as we sing this Lord's Prayer together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is.
Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.